Thank you. I don't know. I just don't feel so certain of myself today, but here we go. What is fatherhood? I did. Fatherhood is getting to go anywhere you want for Father's Day, getting to drive there, and even getting to pay the bill. It's getting up in the middle of the night to see what the noise was outside when you'd really rather stay in bed and hide like everyone else. It's the best excuse in the world to buy all those toys you wanted to get as a child and you never got. It's biting your tongue and remembering to be a good example when someone cuts you off on the highway. It's playing Santa at midnight on Christmas Eve and then paying for that privilege at 22% interest for 36 consecutive months. It's assembling toys that require one screwdriver and a nuclear physicist to assemble. It's praying for and hoping for and anxiously looking forward to the day when your kids will be out of the house and on their own, and then trying to postpone that day as long as possible when it approaches. It's carrying sleepy kids into the house when you're too tired to even carry yourself in. Yep, fatherhood is sometimes a thankless job of fixing kites, breaking up fights, and wiping up chocolate milk. It's dental bills, broken arms, and skateboards. But today, Dad, we want to say we appreciate you and all that you've done. Notice that one of the responsibilities of John the Baptist was to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. If ever there was a time that this is needed to happen, it's now. I know we talk of how the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that controls the world, and then we're talking about mothers. But I would like to suggest to you that the reason that the world, that this world, and the reason this nation, and the reason that the church is in the condition is because of our fathers. It's the fathers who don't have their heart turned toward their children. The fathers who have never put their arms around their child and told them that they love them. The fathers who have never shown their emotions in front of their children. Many children have never seen their dads cry. I never saw my dad cry until he walked me down the aisle the first time. Fathers who have never taken their children to church or sent them to Sunday school and didn't go with them. And fathers who have walked out on a family. Fathers who have never led their children in prayer and have never prayed for them. Fathers who have had time for everything in the world but never have time for their children. Here's a bit of a story. It's about a pastor who, in his church, 2 weeks prior to Father's Day, he handed out two questions for people to answer. And the first question was, what is a father or a dad? And the second was, what does your father or dad mean to you? Well, out of his congregation, he got seven responses. That first question, what is a dad? A person that loves and takes care of you. A father is someone who cares about you, and they spend time with you and love you, but most importantly, a father should live a life as an example to their child. A dad's a special person in your life. A dad's someone who loves you no matter what, who takes care of you and who provides for you, who spends time with you, even though he'd rather be doing something else. A father is someone that you look up to no matter how tall you grow. He is supposed to set the godly example before his children. A dad is someone who loves you, takes care of you, and supports you no matter what. And a dad is a male role model who is always there, not only in the good times, but in the bad times as well. He is someone who loves you with all his heart and would do anything to make you happy. Some pretty high expectations for dads, I think. But you know, the Old Testament, the expectations were even higher. The father commanded the high position of the family, and his word was law. In addition to that, in the Hebrew word that's translated into English as husband actually means, hold on girls, Lord, master, owner, or possessor. And that's from Genesis 18 and Hosea 2. because of his position, shared some of the degrees of with his wife, a man was expected to be treated as royalty by the rest of his family. The fifth commandment, though, carries the idea of the importance of the parents one step further than it states, honor your father and your mother. The word honor often refers to one's response to God. In other words, this commandment suggests that the parents should receive a recognition similar to that given to God. Along with the honor of the position as the head of the family, the father is expected to assume certain responsibilities. These responsibilities can be classified into three categories, which I believe was seen in the responses of the questions that that pastor had asked, and that would be spiritual or social and economic. First of all, the father was responsible for the spiritual well-being of the family, as well as the individual members of the family. In the earliest ages, the father functioned as the priest of his family, actually doing sacrifices on their behalf. First of all, the father was responsible for the spiritual well-being of the family, as well as individual members of the family. Well, I flipped on that one. Later, when a priesthood was established in Israel, and the layman no longer functioned as at the altar, the father's spiritual role was redefined. He continued to be the religious leader at the home, and this involved training the children to godliness. We all have heard Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The Living Bible states that as, teach a child to choose the right path, and when he is older, he will remain upon it. Socially, the father's responsibility was to see that no one took advantage of any member of his family. Those who were not protected by a father were truly disadvantaged persons. The two most common categories of fatherless people were the widows and the orphans. In old Jewish writings, the four specific duties of a father to his son were to have the son circumcised, to pass on his inheritance to his firstborn son, to find his son a wife, and to teach him a trade. Economically, the father was to provide for the needs of the various members of his family. And from time to time, however, a lazy person failed to provide for his family. The conscientious man sought out to mock that lazy man, shaming him to do what he was expected to do. From Proverbs 6:6-11, we take a lesson from the ants. Take a lesson from the ants, you lazy fellow. Learn from their ways to be wise. For though they have no king to make them work, yet they labor hard all summer gathering food for winter. But you, all you do is sleep. When will you wake? Let me sleep a little longer. Sure, just a little more. And as you sleep, poverty creeps upon you, like a robber destroys you. Want attacks you in full armor. The Apostle Paul rebuked those who considered themselves Christians, but who did not look after the needs of their family. From 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. The Living Bible describes that, but anyone who won't care for his own relatives when they need help, especially those living in his own family, has no right to say he is a Christian. Such a person is worse than a heathen. Also, we learn not only to form responses of those who responded from my question, but we learn from the scripture of the fathers that we are to be examples and to follow. So, back to that second question that the pastor questioned. What does your father or dad mean to you? The first person said, he takes good care of me. If I want something, he will get it for me. And he comforts me. The next, my dad is my friend. He is someone who I joke with and love. The third, he is a special person. The fourth person, dad, was deceased. And she says, but I remember how much he loved not only me, but each of his children. He did not always say it in words, but mainly by his actions. He took care of and provided for us in good times and in bad. The next person, my dad means the world to me. He loves me and supports me. My dad has set the example and the way before me. He is a Christian, and I will always look up to my dad. And the sixth person, my dad means the world to me. I love him very much. And lastly, my dad means everything to me. I'm his little girl who enjoys spending time with him, especially fishing. I appreciate that I have a dad because my dad basically grew up without one. I wouldn't trade my dad for anything in the world. My dad is a great role model and a very good person to look up to. I'm sure after listening to these that each of us could reflect our own statements about our dads. But only these people in that congregation made the choice to put their words into writing and helped us to understand Father's Day a little better this morning. Let me close with this reading. Father's Day is a special day. Father's Day is a special day when we remember Dad. But God was the only father that Jesus ever had. And when he was a little boy, he loved his father so that he desired to please him wherever he would go. So this Father's Day, like Jesus, honor Dad in all you do and reflect the love of Jesus for the Heavenly Father too. And that goes for each of us, not just for dads.